Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and in this week's Musicals and Theatre podcast, I'm chatting to Rhea Jones all about her amazing career. If you enjoy it, then why not join me on Mellow Magic every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10. Well, hello, everybody. I'm very excited this week because I am talking to Rhea Jones. She's sitting right opposite me. And Rhea, well, you recently hit the headlines when you were Glenn Close's understudy in Sunset Boulevard, and Glenn Close wasn't very well, and you went on and, well, I don't think it's an understatement to say that you, or an overstatement indeed, to say that you basically brought the house down. And you were all over the newspapers and everything for being the understudy that was the star of the show and stole the show. But, of course, there's much more to your career than that. So let's go back to the very beginning.
A very good place to start. I couldn't resist. Oh, no. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
Yeah. Right. What was your first job and how did you get it?
Okay.
And I don't mean the paper round.
No, I've not done anything else other than entertain, not even a Saturday job. How lucky am I?
Serve someone a drink over a bar, never.
Never, ever, other than sing or entertain. That's lucky. That is luck. But my first professional job, I guess, I was 9. And I did Panto in Swansea, Grand Theatre with Clive Dunn. I was one of the babes.
Oh.
And I got my child equity card. Because back then you had to have an equity card.
Yeah.
To perform on professional stage, and I got my equity card and I turned 10 during the panto, because then pantos ran till March.
Till March.
The Swansea panto was the longest running in the country. It ran, well, my birthday's March the 8th, so it ran past then.
Right.
So singing Christmas songs in March was fun. But I remember it was a 12-week run and I got paid £10 a week, so I got £120 and my child equity card. And my mum let me buy a feathered, because I love Shirley Bassey, even at that age. So I got a little feathered bolero jacket, white swan's feather jacket, bolero. So I remember it vividly. And then from there, my next professional job was for Bill Kenwright's Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was 16. I came to London to audition. And I was only telling someone this story the other day because it makes me laugh and cringe at the same time when I think about it. I always wanted to go to a stage school, you know, the Italia Conti or Arts Educational. That's where all the Bonnie Langford went and Lina Zavaroni and all the stars of the day, the young stars. And I really wanted to go, but my parents couldn't afford it and there wasn't an equivalent in Wales. So I just went to a local dance school, tap dancing school, where we sang in pantomimes, old people's homes. And that's how I guess it started, the bug, they call it, the bug started. And then somebody said to my mum, you know, she should try some auditioning up in London. And cut a long story short, I got an agent and who had seen me in pantomime in Wales because he had a client in it. And he was based in London. And my mum and I went up to London, met him, signed with him. And my first audition was Joseph. So I go up to London and I audition. And I sang, if I remember, New York, New York. Just belted New York, New York out. And I might have done Memory as well, I think, from Cats. Anyway, I got the job. Next one was Panto in Swansea when I was 18. But between that, I had an audition in London for Evita. And it was for the role of the mistress.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going up and auditioning for the mistress. And they said, well, you're not really right for the mistress, but you definitely could be right for a future Ava Perron. And I didn't think anything of it, you know, and went back to Swansea. I was doing Panto, aged 18, and a letter comes through the post for me saying, you auditioned for us quite a while ago for Evita. Well, we're now holding auditions for alternate Avas, basically two shows a week playing Ava Perron. Would you like to come and audition? So I did. And that was it. And I went back the following week, auditioned for Hal Prince, and he was utterly charming and offered me the role there and then. And that is where...
Yes, we'll let everyone into a little secret. While you were busy auditioning for Alternative Eva, I was busy auditioning for a person to carry a placard, basically, in the chorus, which I'd just come out of drama school. But I happened to be able to sing a low E.
Low E? Yeah. And you still sing a low E?
Low in that now. And I fitted the costume of the person who was leaving. And so I was in the chorus, and that's where we met. And we had a fabulous year.
We did meet.
At Manchester Opera House.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Where you were basically the youngest Evita that had ever been, aged 19.
Yeah, well, 18 when I got the role, 19 when I played it. And I don't think anyone's ever beaten that record as yet.
I don't think they will.
And I bumped into Hal Prince a few months ago in New York. It was my second time in 1 year. I'd never been to New York, and it was my second time, and I went to see Carol Burnett, there was a drinks afterwards, and who was there? Hal Prince. And I went up to him and said, I don't know whether you remember, and he remembered me straight away.
Did he?
He was charming, and I took some photos with him and thanked him, you know,
thanked him for
giving me that opportunity years ago.
So, of course, after, we'll go back now. So you've done Evita, and then, of course, you went into basically every musical that's ever been. You've done all of them.
Yes.
Finally, you end up being the understudy for Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard at the Coliseum. You have to tell us what it felt like when you got the phone call that said, you're on tonight.
It was bizarre because, you know, it only ran for 5 weeks. So I really didn't think I'd get on. But that's not the reason I took the role. I took the role. I'd never been in that position. I'd understudied before, but I'd always been in the show. They call it standby. You're on standby. And I literally was in the wings on standby every show. And I had to wait until Glenn's last entrance of each night before I could go home and leave the building.
So if she toppled over like
anytime
5 minutes before the end, they would have put you in a costume and shoved
you. Do you know what I mean?
Seeing if the audience noticed a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. So I did. I took the role because I thought it would be fascinating to watch an A-list Hollywood star work. And she'd played the role before, and so I was fascinated to see how she would, 20 years later, how she would portray Norma then. And having, you know, I did the very first workshop of it when I was 24, and way too young then. But it was great for me to revisit it 25 years later, the right age. So there were lots of reasons why I decided to do it. And I guess the gamble paid off because I did go on. And that morning, I got a call at, I think, 9:30. I was still in bed. And I got a call and it said, you might be on tonight.
Okay,
we don't
so you
know
didn't
for
know
definite.
For sure.
You're on standby. Standby's on standby.
Standby, standby.
Yeah, standby, double standby. And I was meeting friends for lunch in a restaurant next to the theatre. And I went and met them for lunch. And I was sitting having lunch and I told them that I might be on that night.
You were just having lunch.
Yes.
You didn't think you ought to rehearse or something.
No, it was bizarre. It was really weird. There were about six of us, and I got the call, and I said, "Well, I'm just going to take this outside." So I took the call, and I think it was about 3:30. They said, "You're on." I went, "Right, okay." I walked back to the lunch table, and I sat down, and I said, "I'm on tonight." And they went, one of my friends, like, was like Mama Rose on steroids. She was mental. She was going, "What do you mean you're on? Oh my God! What are you doing? Just sitting?" I said, "I just want to finish my soup," and I finished my soup calmly. And they were all like, "Are you sure you're okay?" And I said, "Yes, I'm fine. There's nothing. You know, I'll be fine." So I finished my soup. I think I had a call at 4:30 with Michael Xavier, who played Joe Gillis, and we had 40 minutes together on stage. That was it. That's all we had to just top and tail our scenes and just say, "You're going to hold me there in the waltz and you're going to, you know, and kiss each other maybe for the first time, to try that first maybe." It was fun. And I'd never sung it through with the orchestra. I'd never done it with the costumes. I'd never done it with the proper company. I'd had two rehearsals, two 3-hour calls, act two one day and then the following day act one, back to front, of course. But I knew I knew it. I knew I'd done my homework. I'd listened to the orchestrations and I'd sung along with it in my dressing room. I'd only watched it from the front once, and that was enough. Everything else I wanted to watch backstage because that's where I would be. And I was on. But it's really strange because sadly, very sadly, the day before Victoria Wood had passed away, and Stephen Meyer, who choreographed Sunset, who's a very good friend of mine and Vic's, came to tell me personally. And then the next day, of course, I was on and he rang me and he said, I bet that's something to do with Vic. She got up there and thought, come on, let's just get her on. And I said, yeah, I know. Funnily enough, she would have been there, you know, championing me on if she was still alive. But it gave me the strength to sort of go out there and, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a musical. It's just a musical. And when I heard them boo and shout for their money back, you know, there we go. I think that was more, I thought it was more the case of them being frustrated that Glenn wasn't on, not the fact that I was. And I get it. It's a lot of money, you know, if people came from all over the world to see her. But that's showbiz. That's live theatre. That's the risk you take. And, but it gave me more, I don't know, I just wanted to get out there and go, okay, I'll show them.
Incredibly brave. And you texted me to say you were on. And unfortunately, I wasn't in the country, so I couldn't come.
I know.
But I came back to England 2 days later just to see the newspapers. And I was so proud of you because everyone had just gone mad.
It's
the sort of fairy tale story, though, isn't
it? Yeah.
That you take over from the star and everyone's like, well, what's this going to be like? And you just wipe the floor with it, with the whole show.
It was absolutely fantastic. I still can't believe it. I still sometimes look at the footage that people have put online, you know, my curtain call, and I just can't believe it.
It was like a dream. And
it
I think was. You've got some news possibly to share with us now about perhaps
I have. Well,
continuing that role a little
the
bit.
The lovely thing is it was released on Monday that I will be playing Norma Desmond in my own right on a 40-week UK tour opening
so
at the Curve
exciting.
In Leicester and with Andrew Lloyd Webber's thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
And I start in August rehearsals and then a 40-week tour.
So we can all just look
you can
out
all
for that.
Come, yes, yeah, I'm sure it'll be coming to theatres near London, like Wimbledon.
Well,
maybe,
all over the country.
And you know, all over
Listeners
the country.
Listeners all over the country,
oh,
Ria.
Oh, of course.
We do. We
of
do.
Course.
We're national. We are. People will look on the website.
I'm thinking of you.
Find, yeah,
that's
me
the reason I said that. You
I'll
personally
be,
can come
I'll
to
be coming near London.
But I've got friends, relatives all over the country,
yeah,
so yes.
Can come from anywhere. I'm going to ask you a few more sort of general questions.
Lovely.
About musicals. Which is, what is your favourite musical of all time?
I love Anything Goes.
Oh, do you?
Mm.
Okay.
I love Anything Goes because it has a bit of everything in it. Singing, dancing, some great scenes, comedy, feel-good factor. A proper, good, old-fashioned Broadway musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Gypsy too. It's my favourite overture. But and Evita's fabulous because it's just incredible. But I think I do love Anything Goes. I love I love being in Anything Goes.
Yes. And if you could be a character, not play a character, but be a character in any musical, who would you choose to be?
If I could be a character, I would be. Oh, I actually love the character I played, Liz, in High Society. She was the photographer.
Okay. Yeah.
I loved her. She was sassy. She was fun. And she was great. I liked playing Liz.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could be her
in High Society.
In High Society. Perfect answer. This is a tricky one now.
Okay.
You're off to the theatre and you've got a spare ticket. Who would you least like to give that spare ticket to, bearing in mind that you've got to spend the whole evening with them and probably buy them a drink in the interval?
Probably any one of the people that booed and asked for their money back when it was announced Glenn Close wasn't on, because I can't bear people who don't know anything about theatre etiquette. And I would be very embarrassed if someone did that sitting next to me.
Yes.
I would leave.
Rude.
Rude.
It was rude.
Yes.
And
it
they
was
were.
Rude.
But you shut them up.
That was the best way.
Which is,
that's the way to do it.
Very sweet.
It really did.
It did. Anyway, well, Ria, thank you so much for coming in and talking
to
us.
My pleasure.
Everybody, get on your websites as soon as... So we've got to wait till August before we can see you.
Well, actually, August are rehearsals. It opens September the 16th. Yes, I know. But it'll be round quicker than you think.
Oh, you're right.
And I'll be... 50 by then.
Will you be that old?
I will be that old.
How did that happen?
But you know what?
You're so much older than me.
I know. I am. I mean, you were a babe, weren't you, in Evita?
I was only three when I was in Evita.
The youngest ever ensemble member who could sing a low E at three.
I'm huge. I can't wait to see it because I didn't get to see
it. I know, I can't wait to
go from it. So I'm really looking forward to that. And thank you so much for coming in and chatting.
My pleasure.
I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers, and interviews.